Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I'm just thankful this morning, Lord, that we have you, that I have you to call upon, to cry out to when times are hard. And I pray that you would help all of us that know you that way to encourage those who don't, Lord, to call upon your name. And those of us that have learned to turn to you when things are so hard, help us to remind those who are in tough times that you're where they need to turn, Father. Help us to be good stewards of pointing others to you. Father, I just lift up these baptisms this morning. Pray that you'd work in the hearts of these people that got baptized and move mightily as they turn to you. Comfort and heal them, Father, and support them through every storm of life. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good to see you. If you have your Bible, if you would, open up with me to Luke chapter 24. As you're returning there, just to let you know, back behind, not only were there a bunch of friends to celebrate with and family with those who were baptized, but Miss Sherry had our preschool back there so that they could see baptism from the backside, which was pretty cool. And so they said, hey, we've always watched it from the front. Let's look at it from the back just to be able to answer some questions. And anyway, I thought that was a great idea. And so cool to see that back there. Last couple of weeks, we have been walking through and talking about encounters that people have had with Jesus. And one of the cool things, as we have looked at many of these people who have encountered Jesus, he met them right where they were at, in the midst of their grief, in the midst of their trials or struggles, even in the midst of shame. And so even last week during our resurrection celebration, we looked at Mary Magdalene and how she had went to the tomb and upon arriving at the tomb had found that the stone had been rolled away. So she ran back to tell the disciples. Peter and John rush to the tomb. John wanted us to know that he won, remember? And but Peter went on in. They found the cloth. They found the face cloth all folded up, placed, put down. Jesus was gone. The tomb was empty. And so today, as we look at some of these, I want to follow along. The first one we'll look at is Mary Magdalene. Here, she was overcome with grief after seeing Jesus die on the cross. And in going there, though, he met her, and he gently called to her, and he said, Mary, and he revealed to her who he was and comforted her. Peter, as he went, remember, Peter had denied even knowing Jesus leading up to the crucifixion, and so even when he had denied him for the third time, the rooster crowed, it said that Jesus, the Lord, looked at him. Could you imagine the guilt, the shame, all that would have overcome him? It said that he left weeping bitterly, right? And so here is one who is ashamed. He has guilt from all that has taken place. And yet we can read and see that Jesus came to him and he spoke to him. He revealed himself to him after he rose from the dead. But even still, even as they went out fishing, Jesus met them on the bank of the shore and called to Peter, reinstating him back to ministry. Do you love me? And he's like, yes. Three times he asked him that, maybe to redeem the times that he denied him. But he called him back to the mission. And so today, as we dive in, we're going to look at multiple people who encountered Jesus, the risen Savior. And one of the things that I want to challenge you to ask is, what if Jesus were to come and to meet you right where you're at, whatever's going on in life, and then bring you back to a laser focus about his plan, his purpose, his calling that he has for you? And so with that in mind, if you don't mind, if you are would like to stand just in honor of God's word, we'll begin reading here in verse 13 of chapter 24, Luke 24, 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So just so you know, this is the third day since Jesus was placed in the tomb, and this is the day that he is talking about. And they were talking with each other about all these things that have happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So we went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for how you come to us right in the midst of where we are, what we are dealing with. And we ask, Lord, that today, that like these two men, our eyes would be open to you, that we would see your hand at work all around us. And Lord, even in the midst of our questions, maybe even our disappointments, that Lord, we would see you. And so God, I pray that our hearts would burn as the scripture is taught, that Lord, that you would lead us and point us to a right standing with you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Here, there are two men, and they are walking, and they're discussing all that has happened. And you're like, well, what had happened? Well, all of the things of Jesus. Remember, Jesus had done some pretty miraculous things. He had caused a man who was born blind. He had healed him. Now he can see. Just outside of Jerusalem, he had raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead for 4 days. As you could imagine, it had spread like wildfire. People who were talking about this Jesus, and then he's arrested. He's not just arrested, but now he's put to death upon the cross. Horrible death, whipped, beaten, nailed to a cross, placed into a tomb. It's now been 3 days, and these men are talking about all that has happened. They've heard word already that some of the ladies had went to the tomb and they'd found it empty. They'd heard about Peter and John rushing there and they too finding it the same way. And they're asking these questions. What does all this mean? Did he rise from the dead? But you still hear a disappointment in their words. We had hoped that he would redeem Israel, right? We had hoped that he was going to come as the political savior who would bring us out from under the oppression of the Romans. And so there was a disappointment. And in the midst of that, Jesus comes and meets them right where they're at. What are you guys talking about? Have you lived under a rock? Are you the only one who's come from Jerusalem who doesn't know, who hasn't heard? Well, what things? About Jesus of Nazareth. Man, he was powerful in word and in deed. And we had hoped that he was going to be the one. And so Jesus rebukes them. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Think about what the Bible has said about this Messiah who would come. And then starting with Moses and all the prophets, he began to teach them about what the Scripture has said. Could you imagine of anyone teaching you Scripture that Jesus himself is now going back to the writings of Moses, maybe even going all the way back to the beginning, to creation? Now, we don't know if he's talking about Moses' writings or if he's talking about when Moses came on scene. Either way, think of some of the things that Jesus surely would have mentioned, pointing to what Scripture would say about the Messiah. Now, if he had went all the way back to the beginning, surely he would have talked about how the offspring of the woman would crush the serpent's head, but yet he would be wounded in the process, right? Surely he would have talked about how Abraham and the offspring Isaac would offer Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain, right? Surely he would have pointed to even the Passover lamb and how Jesus literally on the day of Passover was the Passover lamb, and that the blood of the lamb would bring about forgiveness of sin. I'm sure he would have pointed, as John does in John 3, where just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Probably he would have pointed to the sacrificial system where animals would come and were sacrificed, and that at the shedding of blood, there would be forgiveness of sin. I'm sure he probably would have pointed out to one of the prophets, Isaiah, and some of the things that Isaiah would say in Isaiah 53, that he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Or maybe Psalm 22, that Jesus would quote as he's on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Maybe he would have pointed out Psalm 16, that you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay, talking of the resurrection. Maybe Zechariah chapter 12, they will look on me, the one they have pierced, or Daniel, which talks about the timing of the Messiah's coming, and him being cut off. Or maybe Jesus would have focused upon the new covenant and the new covenant in his blood, the promised new covenant, where God would write his law upon the hearts and remember their sins no more. Either way, could you imagine Jesus teaching you these things? Jesus unpacking them, and these two men would say, did our hearts not burn within us as he was discussing the Scriptures? It is my prayer that you and I, regardless of where we're at in our journeys or walks with the Lord, I want to tell you, it is my prayer that we get to this place where our hearts literally burn for the Word of God, that we hunger for it, that we thirst for it, that we follow the Lord and seek to obey him in all that we do. You see, these two men were confused. They were maybe discouraged. But yet Jesus came to them, and now there's this burning faith within them. Their response was to rush back to Jerusalem and for the first time be able to share of the risen King, be able to share of, I guarantee that as Jesus had taught them some of these Old Testament truths, that they were able to unpack them for all of the disciples, in which they then would in turn go and teach throughout their ministry. So you and I, now what does this mean for us? Whether you're like Mary and you're in the midst of grieving, we have a Jesus who comes and is our comforter. Whether you're like Peter, who was, was hurt and was ashamed, of even denying Jesus. Maybe there's been things in your life or in your past that you come and there's guilt and shame. We have a Jesus who comes and reinstates us and forgives us. Or maybe like these two guys, you've been discouraged. Maybe you've questioned God about why things happened a certain way that they did in life. Whatever the case is, we have a Jesus who comes to us even in the midst of that and points us to trust him and to follow him. And so, today, as we dive in and look at some of these people that Jesus encountered, find yourself in the midst of that. Another one that we give really a bad rap is Thomas. We even call him Doubting Thomas, right? Here is a guy who had questions, and Jesus had appeared to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there, so they tell him about it. And so Thomas's own words is, unless I can stick my finger into his holes where the pins were, where the nails were, or even my hand into his side, I will not believe. If you would turn with me there, this is found in John chapter 20. The next book to the right, John chapter 20, this is what Thomas would say. Start in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Now listen, we give him a tough time about this, but that's some of us, okay? We are like, I ain't stepping out in faith unless I know, right? I just want to tell you, that's not faith. If you know exactly what's going to happen, that's not faith. This week, there was a gentleman that I've been praying for. He's been coming for a while to our church, and he told me one time when we were talking, he says, "You know, I have a science degree, and so belief in Jesus has been really hard. Like, I can't test it. I can't see him. I can't touch him. Like, it's really hard." And I said, "That's fine. Just continue to come with your questions and ask him to reveal himself, and I believe he will." This week, he called me, and he said, "Chad," he says, "are you at your office?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay, I'll be there." And he comes, and you know what he said? He said Jesus came to him and made himself known. He said while he was driving in his truck, he cried out. He said, "Jesus, will you save me?" He said, "Chad, something happened to me while I was in my truck." And he goes, "I'm free. I know I'm free." Isn't that awesome? Listen, I've been praying for him, and you can join. I believe he's going to follow the Lord in baptism, and we're going to get to hear that testimony. But what I'm telling you is that maybe that's you today. Maybe there's doubts. Maybe there's struggles. Maybe there's worries. Maybe there's just questions you don't have answers to. I just want to tell you, sometimes we don't have all the questions answered, but there are other things that are just undeniable, right? For this guy, he said, "It's undeniable. It's undeniable how I went through some of the things I went through, and to know that he was right there." And listen to Thomas, verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Put out your hand." And he says, "Place it into the side." He says, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him. I don't know if he literally stuck his finger in or his hand. Like, we're not given those details. But to him, maybe he didn't have to. Maybe it was just the fact that Jesus came to him. He said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who one day, a couple of thousand years from now in Skytook, they will not have seen me, but yet they will believe. Blessed are those. Thomas, here today, you have seen me, and that is why you believe. But one day there will be a people who will have not seen me, but will believe as though they had. And will know me as though I have stood right there amongst you. And listen, stories of transformation all over this room of people who have been completely transformed by a Savior because he has come and he's made himself known to you. Amen? Amen. And it is a testimony that we should continue to proclaim and share. And so, like Thomas, maybe you have questions and doubt. I want to tell you, Jesus comes and meets you right in the midst of those. That's not a problem. Continue to ask your questions. I believe that he'll answer them and he'll show you. We see also that there are 11 apostles Jesus encounters upon the mountain. Here, maybe feeling unqualified, Jesus tells them to go and to meet him in Galilee. And as going to Galilee, Jesus meets them on the mountain. And what does he do? He gives them directions. If you want to, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. He gives them the Great Commission here, one in which we remind each other about all the time. And he tells them, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, and I will be with you always to the end of the age." These 11 may be feeling unqualified to do the mission that God had given them, but yet remind you they are ordinary men, that they are, some of them fishermen, some of them tax collector, even a zealot amongst them. And yet, God had told them to go and to make disciples of all nations. Do you ever feel the weight, or that's maybe too big for someone here in Skytook, right? But I want to remind you that this mission is one to have laser focus. Did you know in this mission that he didn't say go and build church buildings? He didn't say go and create Sunday school classes. He didn't say go and do whatever else. He said go and make disciples. And by doing that, it's a laser focus of what he's called us to do. And I think that with these 11, they have a lot going on. They've received the power of the Holy Spirit and they don't yet know what they are to do. But yet Jesus gives them a laser-focused mission. Wait here. And when the Spirit of God comes, you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Samaria, or Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In other words, trust me, obey me, teach others to obey me, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded, right? And then he gives the greatest encouragement that we all need, and I will be with you. Don't do this on your own. I'll be with you. You don't have to do this on your own. I'm there. And this is what I believe, that here, in this day and time, we need to understand that it is by being obedient and by making disciples that Jesus reminds us of his presence. Why? Because I believe we'll be put in situations that we can't do on our own all the time. And so we'll have to rely upon the power of the Spirit of God to lead us, to push us, this adventure that we're on. And so trust him. Tonight, I've been teaching a class on Sunday nights, 8 weeks or 8 different sessions. Tonight is the last one. It's at 6 p.m. And we have been unpacking what it would look like for us to be laser focused upon the mission that God has given us to make disciples. And so if you have not come to any of them, I would invite you to come tonight. We will unpack, we will give a clarity maybe to how this can be done and do so together with an encouragement together that we here at First Baptist, that we will stand shoulder to shoulder for the sake of the gospel and that we will make him known and we'll make disciples. We won't be distracted by the things to the left or to the right, but we will live out the mission that he has given us. And so I'd invite you to come. There is a number right here. Phone number. You probably get, I don't know. If you got a text last night saying, "Hey, hope to see you tomorrow morning," raise your hand. You got a text? If you didn't, you can just text "Hi" to this number. It will ask you your full name. You can respond to it. And all it will do is on Saturdays, I invite you, I give you updates, things to come. If you want to do that, great. Otherwise, you can text disciple to this number, and it will just put you in a separate group that I can send resources or encouragement in what it means to make disciples. I'm very cautious. I don't send a whole lot. I don't want to flood you with things, but if you would like to focus in on the mission of making disciples, text that disciple to that number, and it will just put you in a group. I can send resources or encouragement or just pray for you, right? So anyway, side note, sorry. We have the 11 on the mountain. Jesus gives them this laser focus. Before I move on, I did this in the first service, but before I move on, Thomas, one of the cool things to know about Thomas is, you know, he, my Lord and my God, he followed the Lord. He was obedient. Legend or stories tell us that he took the gospel to India and made Jesus known there. I just thought that was a pretty cool thing. Here we call him Doubting Thomas when he was a missionary, and he proclaimed the Lord and even went to his death proclaiming that Jesus had risen from the dead. Anyway, last two and we're done. Are you guys ready? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Paul talking about the resurrection. And here, he lists a couple of people that Jesus appeared to. I'll start in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. What he's saying as he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth is he's saying, listen, Jesus didn't just appear to a select few, but he appeared to over 500 people. And many of them are still alive if you want to ask them about it. Like, you can go ask them. Verse 8. Verse 7. Then he appeared to James, which is the brother of Jesus. James wrote the book of James here in the New Testament. We'll unpack him in just a second. Then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Here, we see Paul pointing to the last two people I want to look at. The first one is James. James is the brother of Jesus. James was not a believer. We learn this in John chapter 7. But something happened. Something changed with James. And, you know, you can't really blame James. Because think about it. Think if you had to live with Jesus. I mean, think of all the things. Like, you'd probably try all the time to blame things on him. His parents like, no, Jesus didn't do it, right? Or you'd be like, who do you think you are? You think you're perfect or something? And he'd be like, well, actually, you know. I mean, so James did not believe in Jesus, but something happened. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to James. And I think called James to the mission as well. James ultimately became one of the leaders at the Church of Jerusalem. And even stories tell us that died for his faith. It said that he was beaten, was taken up because he wouldn't deny Jesus, that he was taken up to the Temple Mount and ultimately thrown off of the Temple Mount. And then when he didn't die upon landing, it says that he was beaten with a club. Now, that's not in the Bible. That's extra historical things, but here is one who claimed, even to his death, that Jesus rose from the dead, and was one that didn't believe him until he saw him having been raised. Last one that I want you to see is Paul. Paul here says that he was unworthy even to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church. You see, Paul was one who would even cast his vote at the stoning of Philip or Stephen. And I want you to see that even that Paul was one that had orders to go and arrest people when Jesus met him on the road. And so Jesus appeared to him, said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I think it's interesting that we don't even know if Jesus and Saul ever actually met face to face. But Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" when he's talking about the church. You see, Jesus identifies you and I as a part of him. I think that's important, that when we stand and identify with Jesus at times of like baptism, Jesus also identifies himself with us. What a calling that he has upon our lives, that we would represent him to the world. Ultimately, he called Paul to the mission. Go and make disciples. And Paul did just that as one of the greatest missionaries that the world has ever seen. And so, think of this. Jesus did not come to each one of these all in a similar way. He came to Mary in the midst of her tears. He came to Peter in the midst of his shame and restored him with love. He came to the Emmaus disciples in the midst of their confusion and opened up the scriptures for them to see the truth. Thomas in the midst of doubt, and he gave evidence. The 11 with the commissioning of the authority. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go." He came to James in the midst of skepticism as a family member and ultimately came to him with personal appearance and pushed him and led him to be a leader amongst the church. Paul, in the midst of hostility, an enemy of what Christ was doing, he transformed his life. And now, what about you? Jesus, in the midst of wherever you're at, maybe there's doubts, maybe there's struggles, maybe there's questioning, maybe you still are trying to figure this whole thing out, he comes to you right where you're at, and he'll help you, and he'll answer your questions. Maybe you're a believer. You surrendered a long time ago, but maybe you've just been distracted. Maybe you've made this life about something else. Then he comes and reminds you of the mission that he's called you to. Go and make disciples. And again, I want to invite you. Come tonight. Let us stand shoulder to shoulder. Make sure that we don't retreat from this mission that he has given us. And so in the way of application, today, would you open your eyes to see that God is at work? He's at work in your life. He's at work all around us. This is the hope that we get to be a part of what he's doing. Is that as we go and proclaim or share or make disciples, God's already at work in their lives. That there are some people that when you go and share, it is though God is answering their prayer because he sent somebody like you to them. They're already ready. They're asking. This is the hope that we have. God is at work. Let's trust him in that and be ready to go and make him known. Will you surrender to the mission? Listen, let us not be distracted. Let us not puff ourselves up in some sort of biblical knowledge without being obedient to it. Let us make disciples who make disciples. We will see it reach to the ends of the earth if we will surrender our lives to it. Would you say yes to Jesus? Maybe like the two walking on the road to Emmaus, you would say that your heart burns as the scripture is shared. Let me remind you that the whole reason that Jesus came was because you and I need a Savior. You see, God is good and he is holy, but you and I aren't. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. We deserve the punishment of God. But God loves you, and he loves me. So he sent Jesus to come. And by Jesus going to the cross, he paid for your sin and for mine. The payment is full. Jesus says, "It is finished." What is finished? It's been paid. And he says that if we will believe in him, trust him, follow him, we can know him. We can be forgiven of our sin. We can be made new. You see, God loves you. And he didn't just say he loved you, he showed it. Would you say yes? Would you, as he calls to you, will you follow me? Will you say yes? I pray today that all of us will say yes to whatever he calls us to. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for how you came to so many of these after the resurrection, that they encountered the risen Savior. And God, I pray that today that we too would encounter you, that we would encounter you on a day-to-day basis as we follow you, as we open your word. I pray that, Lord, that we would experience your power and your authority as we make disciples who make disciples. And God, I pray that today that there would be many in this room who would experience the power unto salvation today as they believe in Jesus and the payment that he has made. Lord, he is risen. And we thank you that Jesus is a risen Savior, alive. Let us live out our lives in the hope that one day we too will rise. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would, stand with me as we worship. I want to invite you to respond to the Lord. Today, if you would like to surrender to what he has for you as a part of the mission, maybe you would have someone pray over you or with you as you make disciples. We would love to do that. There would be some up here who would be willing to do that. If today you would say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to be made new. You come. We would love to pray with you and encourage you, walk with you in any way that we can.